It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the Memorial Day weekend edition. Summer grilling season is officially kicking off today. And I hope you're planning a backyard barbecue in your neighborhood or your cottage or wherever it is that you're listening, because tis the season, baby. And we're going to kick it off good today. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What are you going to be cooking this weekend?
Hey, we're here, and I'm just happy, happy, happy.
Yeah.
To quote Gomer Pyle, we're going to talk about alternate cooks, but we also want to, of course, commemorate the real meaning of this weekend, and it is Memorial Weekend. So it's that time we memorialize those who have served in foreign wars and fought and died, kept our freedoms, preserved them, enhanced them, and hopefully enough people will get it so that they don't give them all away right now, because we got some crazy folk out there.
Well, that's a consistent thing no matter what the time of year it is, right? No, that crazy folk thing. Yeah, man, it's been a crazy year, and we've seen it all.
I think it's called a Marxist or color revolution.
Yeah. Are we colonized by China yet?
It seems like that's where
we're going.
They're fitting to.
Yeah, but anyway, we'll stop there.
Okay.
It's a grilling show.
So let's have some fun, man.
We
recorded last week because I had to take a trip to the Youp. And I went up to Munising with my brother-in-law, Paul. We took his new mule, which is why I have my old mule. And his wife's family has a cottage on a lake called Island Lake, which is south of Munising on Forest Highway 13. And there are three cabins on this lake, Jop.
And you were in one of them?
We have one of them.
Awesome.
And it's got a...
Who's this we? What you got in your pocket, man?
It's got a campground on the other side of the lake with a boat ramp. So every now and then you'll see a fishing boat out there, but normally it's just ours. And we did a little fishing, but...
Did you show him where the walleye were?
Due to some technical difficulties.
What's that mean? Operator error?
I won't blame him, but we didn't have a motor or the right oars. So we didn't go out in the boat much. We fished off the dock a little bit and... the minnows were set free by the end of the weekend.
Well, yeah, there was probably a whole school of walleyes off the end of the dock laughing at you, waiting for you to dump them.
Well, that was my mission, is to get one in the boat so we could take a picture and send it to his brother-in-law, because he doesn't believe us.
Didn't happen, did it?
No.
Well, then he's still right, and you're still wondering.
I'm not wondering, but... it's a seasonal place. It's very rustic. It's very cool. It's very old and a lot of varies. But, of course,
going... How about mousy? Was it very mousy?
No.
Okay.
I think it gets too cold in there in the winter.
Oh, right. Well, that's where they usually go.
We found a burst pipe as soon as we fired the place up.
So there you go.
He's a plumber. So,
well, good news, right?
Yeah. We were in a crawl space, which was a little muddy. And we had to get a little work done, but we rode trails a bunch. He's got a brand new, beautiful power steering mule.
Oh yeah, I watched that manual steering fail us one time.
it was operator error.
Yeah.
it might have been a little drinking.
Could have been that stump. All I know is he's like, hold my drink while I turn around. That's never a good start to anywhere you're going.
And did you hold my drink?
I did, and I wore some of it too.
You lost half of it. But it's so fun to be in the UP and. Gosh, I could go up every weekend. It's only about 6 hours maybe to his cabin, so it's not horrible.
It's funny you just say that, because we just planned a trip in July with a family member who has – we're going the other way. We go to the east side over toward Drummond Island when you get up there, and the little Cedarville, which is about two-thirds the way there. They have a nice little place right on Lake Huron in one of the bays. So we're going to go up there. Yeah, but anyway. So COVID's releasing June 1, right? We're back to normal in Michigan, which is a wonderful thing. And guess what? My phone starts ringing on graduation parties. And so I have, as the person that wants to just endure pain, I have taken on two graduation parties on the same day, which I'm not sure it's the sharpest thing I've done.
A great way to do it.
Well, I'd committed to one, but this one's... I got 400 people between the two deals to provide food for, and they want them an hour apart.
So you need your smoker back.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's a lot of pork butts and beans is what we're doing. We got a couple other sides going on there. But I just wanted to talk about timing that stuff, because as I sat back and I took on the second one, both friends, right? And they want to, my kid wants the Grilling Guys stuff here. Okay, great, we'll get you. As I took it on, one of them is in Grand Rapids and one of them is down in Shartucky where I used to grow up. They're about an hour apart.
You used to grow up there,
right?
Huh?
I used to grew up there. But anyway, the one here is they have a church and they're allowed to use the church for the kitchen sitting, but they can't use the kitchen. So I've got to bring them. I got to bring them hot food in hot boxes. Yes, I'd like to borrow your hot boxes, and leave that with them, and then take off, drive an hour down, and there's one. My timing's good. Noon to three is one. 3 to 7 is the other
Perfect.
One. Yep, and I'll travel between them, but I can't. I got to leave the boxes with the noon, so I got to double up. You know, I'm gonna be calling some buddies and borrowing hot boxes, but I think it can be done. But I wanted to talk about 200 people for pork buck sandwiches, mm-hmm. right? They're traveling around. It's graduation
we
day.
We just
right?
call that barbecue,
right? You're traveling around. It's graduation day. You're not going to eat huge at any one place. You have a little bit everywhere you go.
So you're doing all pork shoulders.
I'm on all pork shoulders, and I'm doing 3 people per pound, is my estimate, live weight. Because it shrinks down about 20-25% when you cook it, right?
I figure 15 to 20 people per shoulder.
Well, and I did too until I started looking at them, and some of them are 8 pounds and some of them are 14 pounds.
Oh.
And so I had to do the math.
You already bought them?
Right? Yeah.
Mm.
But I had to do the math. And
well, you're good at math.
I am. That's where I ended up at three persons per pound. So do the math. And fluff a little because you never want to run out. Yep. I did 70 to 75 pounds per party, right? Well, that turned into 14 pork butts.
And you can get about, 8. You can get about 16 on there, so you'll make it.
Yep, yep. But then here's my other challenge: is they all want baked beans, and they're coming on a full pan. Where am I going to cook up?
You're not.
3 pans.
You're not.
3 pans.
You're just going to do them in the oven.
Right.
They don't get smoked. They don't get bitchin' beans.
Right. Yeah. But there's 3 pans of bacon or beans per party because
okay.
I think I can get 60 to 70 out of a pan of beans.
I got you. Go to Sobey Meats. Look at their sauces, and get that. American Stockyard Bean Starter.
I know exactly
and
what you're talking
it'll,
about.
It'll give you that smoky flavor, and they'll think you smoked it. And then just chop up some of your scraps, throw them in there, and you're good to go.
Yeah. Yep. It'll be good. But anyway.
You'll want to saute some onions.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's all the regular bean ingredients are going to be in there, but it was just the heating surface, right? If I got 16 butts to do,
mm-hmm.
and then I've got another, 6 pans of beans— That's a lot of cooking, man.
That's a whole lot of butts.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of beans. But anyway.
So you're going to put them on the night before.
Yeah, oh yeah, we'll get her done. Yep, there's no question. Because the butts will hold, right? We can get those off 6-8 hours before you want to eat them. Put them in a dry cooler. They'll hold. They'll be hot, ready to go. But for the first party, I'm not serving. The second one, I am. So the first party, I got to have it pulled in a tray ready
Wrapped.
To eat. And then the second party, I'll pull when I get there.
So when you go to Gordon's and you buy your pans, get those nice covers for them.
Right.
And you'll be good to go.
Right.
You'll look like a pro.
Right, exactly. All right, coming up next, we might talk about a couple little alternate cooking methods. And I'm going to take you down this little road called sous vide. You're going to like it. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, guys. Schmoe's now has 2 locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoe's as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys. Hey, it's Memorial Day weekend, and we're going to do a couple little alternate cooking methods. Everybody's got their grill out. The dogs and burgers are going to be flying, but if you want to elevate your game a little bit, we're going to hit a couple things right here.
If you want to cook some squirrels, that's code.
Right, yeah. But anyway, I'm going to let you go first, Bob, with the cool smoke. What do we got going on there?
Go ahead and explain.
Oh, okay. No, honey. No, honey.
It'll help my story.
Okay.
Because you'll explain sous vide.
Okay. So sous vide is a cooking technique. And all it is, French word, sous vide means under vacuum. Not like you vacuumed up the dog's tail, but you're going to put food in a vac seal bag, and what you're going to do then is you're going to cook it in a water bath. Sounds crazy, but it's awesome. And let me tell you why it's awesome, is because you've got an airtight container with a piece of protein in it, and I'm going to give you a chicken breast recipe in a minute, but we'll talk about what this is. It's in a bag, and it's airtight. And you're going to put it in a water bath. And there's a machine that will heat this water up. And basically what you're doing is you're poaching anything you've got inside that bag to a very precise temperature in a very controlled environment.
And the DNR won't bust you for this one.
And the thing is that this creates true moisture. You don't lose any of the juices because you're cooking everything that you are making in its own juices because it's inside this bag. And the second thing is that it regulates the temperature to the exact doneness that you want. Now, you can do this with a variety of foods, but you don't really have to add any fat because everything is cooking inside of its own juices. And therefore, it stays very moist, very juicy. And the coolest part about this is it creates tenderness. And I'll talk about that in a second. But this thing produces results that are really impossible to achieve in any other kind of cooking. So just envision yourself vac sealing a couple steaks, okay? And we're going to talk about that, the best cuts. Let's say you don't want to buy the $23 a pound ribeyes right now, and you've got something that's maybe a little bit of a lesser cut, a little bit tougher maybe. Well, when you put this thing, when you vac seal that steak and put your seasonings right on it, okay, whatever seasonings you like on your steak, put that on there, and you're going to put this thing in a water bath, and I'm going to tell you about this sous vide equipment is readily available to home consumers. This is not something that's like super fancy that's only in the best restaurants. That basically what you're doing, one of them's called a water bath, which resembles kind of a portable deep fryer, but it heats water. It doesn't heat oil. But it heats it to a specific temperature. But the key is circulating the water.
And if you don't have one of those, you can buy a sous vide apparatus. It looks like a hairdryer.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. The other one is called an immersion circulator.
Yeah.
And that is a little pump that you put in any one of your pots, and it heats the water to a specific digital temperature that you choose. and then it circulates the water. And the circulation is the key because you get even heat. You're not heating from the bottom. You're not boiling anything. When that, and they've got a thermostat on them, so every time that that thing, you set it at 145 degrees, if it's above 145, the heating element shuts off. If it gets below, it turns back on. But it just heats this stuff, and you get very specific temperature. And you really, there's techniques, there's information all over the internet with recipes, and I'll get to one of those in a minute. But this tougher cut, the reason that these cuts work so well is this constant motion. And a tougher cut is usually off an animal where it's a muscle that they're using, a front shoulder, a neck that's carrying that heavy head, whatever it may be. And that is full of sinew, if you will, that makes that muscle stronger, right? Well, when you try to eat that, it's tough unless you can break it down. And this sous vide process allows you to do that because you're not going to overcook it. If I set that at 145 degrees, it's not going to get to 160. It's going to stop at 145.
And to do a mea culpa, Jop bought me one of these for Christmas, and I had never used it until, why is it on the show plan? Last week.
There you go.
So I had just an extra pork shoulder, one.
That's one of the items I wanted to talk about.
Okay, so here's what I did. I just one means I got to use my Cajun.
Right.
And it was one of those nights when the temperature dropped and it was a little cool and I wasn't paying attention. And I'm busy. I'm doing my lawn right now and everything. So I ended up virtually cold smoking a shoulder for about 4 hours. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't want to stay up all night and babysit
a fire,
a rudimentary smoker, because the Cajun is really a grill that you can smoke on, which means it doesn't hold a fire all night. It's going to blow through the charcoal. Well, it was cold, and I didn't put enough charcoal on, so I basically got a four-hour cold smoke.
Right.
So what do I do? And fortunately, I had hacked it into two pieces.
Okay.
Because I like the crust. I like the bark. So I put the one section in each bag, sealed it, because it's basically your seal-a-meal kind of bags.
Yeah, vac the air out, yep. so it's airtight.
Yep. So
and it doesn't float.
I had it
because you want it submerged.
I had it smoked and seasoned, and I put Emily's that Mexican pork recipe. We have carnitas on our website. You can go to the grillingguys.com and punch in carnita, and you'll see a beautiful array of spices, and it's for a bath, right? It's what you're going to mop it with. Well, I poured it in the bags,
yep,
and I put the sous vide on there. And some people say it sous vide. The D is kind of silent, so you can say it however you want. But it was cold smoked and then brought to doneness in a sous vide. Jop, right. You have never had a butt like this. It was, I'm going to do it again for you sometime because it was phenomenal.
And I will tell you, if you're a listener, Bob doesn't talk about pork butt in the words phenomenal.
No.
Are never together.
No.
Because it's absolutely not his first choice when it comes to barbecue.
No,
because
I'm shouldered out.
Right.
But here's the other unknown story. Jop comes to me, and I think it was Christmas or something, and he goes, well, you know, they had this sale on sous vide equipment. And I go, yeah, I don't give a crap about it. I said another expletive about sous vide. And he pulls it out of the bag. He goes, oh, that's what I got you for Christmas. And I felt so horrible because the guy's got such a big heart. And here he's doing me a solid. And I just destroyed it. Well, I have tried to rectify the situation and make that product great again in my
right.
house. So your gift
good.
Turns out to be solid.
Good.
And never doubt a gift. I didn't know it was going to be a yeah. gift. But I shrunk when he pulls this thing out of the bag.
So that's
a great trick for a shoulder.
Right. It is. Let me tell you a couple other things that are really good in the sous vide that you might not think about. Root vegetables. I'm going to take a carrot. Okay. Peel them, get the dirtiness off, whatever it is, but a whole carrot. Okay, and what I want you to do is put that in there and do it with herbs or maybe a little fat in just some flavor
like
on that.
Like a couple tabs of butter.
Right.
Because you're going to put it on them anyway.
Right, and put it in there, shrink wrap that thing, and boil those things till they're done. And there's temperature guides you can find on the
yep.
onto what you need to do, but you put those things, not boiling, let me take that back, that's the wrong word, sous vide this thing till it's done, whatever temperature it says, and then what you want to do is pull it out of there, have a hot grill, roll that thing on the grill for about 30 seconds just to get a little char on
or
the outside.
Or just serve it because you've got your butter all there. You can literally take it out of the bag, boom, you're done.
Yep. Great idea. All right. So coming up next, maybe we'll get back to something a little more normal, but probably not. We're the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. Do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out and have no doubt, the Grilling Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake, fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows, you gotta listen to the Grilling Guys show. That's it.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys. Thanks for tuning in. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Don't forget the reason for the season. We need to pay tribute to those that gave the ultimate sacrifice for us. And, we certainly are.
And make sure you look up the proper protocol for flags, saluting, and just what the whole thing's about.
Hats.
Because it's not just about drinking beer and making hot dogs.
No, and we're actually, Bob, Lisa and I are going to make a loop to our parents' graves.
Her
father and my father are both veterans. And
that's
cool. So we're going to go pay a little tribute
this
weekend.
Idea.
Yeah, we try to do it every year. So that's good. But
so, you know, talking about alternate cooks, I guess the idea came from the sous vide, but then I started thinking of all the other things that we probably don't touch on quite enough. And one of them, I gave you my my Brazilian grill, so it has a bunch of spits on it.
That might get a little work this weekend.
Yeah, so using a spit, it's underutilized. A lot of people get a rotisserie for their grill, and they never put it on, never use it.
So those two terms are synonymous. When you think of spit, you probably don't think too much of grilling, but a spit is the nickname for a rotisserie. Where it came from, no idea,
yep.
But if you hadn't heard that before, though, that's what he's talking about.
I think because a lot of guys would grab them with their hand and they'd burn them and they'd spit on their
hand.
Yeah,
right. Good one.
So one of the things you can put on there that's kind of not thought of a lot is any old type of ham you want to get. A boneless is going to be your better bet because you can
get the rod
maybe get it through it. But if you have the forks on the sides, you might be able to manage it also, and your counterweight's going to come in handy. But using a spit to roast the outside of something like that is wonderful. And you can then, of course, get your basting brush out, which is also not used enough, and make up something with typically a little brown sugar and cloves like that.
A little bourbon.
Pineapple. Yeah, rum. So a ham works very, very good.
So let me ask you, when do you baste? So
every
most
5 minutes.
Yeah, but most people don't buy raw hams. They're going to buy
no such thing.
A cooked ham.
Right.
Well, I mean, you could buy the ham
you
butt.
You can get a rear quarter.
Right, a rear quarter and where the ham comes from. But it's going to be a processed ham in some sort, form or fashion. So you're not trying to cook it.
If it says ham, it's already cooked.
Right. You're not trying to cook it necessarily, but you're trying to heat it up.
Right.
Right.
And you want to braise the outside of it and make a nice kind of bark on the outside. And that's where your basting comes in, because you can caramelize the outside and it, you know, poke cloves in it if you want or what. Basically, it gives you a better presentation. It heats your meat. It adds a flavor profile to at least a third of the meat, because you'll never penetrate a whole ham.
So my question to you then is do you use a spiral cut or not? I know the answer, but I just thought we better make a point of it.
Well, typically the spiral cuts are already sugar-coated and whatnot, but I don't know why you couldn't.
Well, because as that, I've tried it once and I made the mistake. Okay, somebody gave me
apart.
One. Yeah. As it turned and warmed up, everything loosened up and it's just flopping around like, you know.
You'd have to put a lot of pressure on it and get those forks.
Yeah,
no.
So where I'm going
so I'm
going to
take the cheapest one I can buy.
Right, and put a diamond cut on it, maybe with your knife.
Yeah.
So that, you know, a half inch cut, as it heats, it'll open up a little bit. Then your basting's got little places to get stuck, and it's all good for everybody.
Yep. And if your butcher sells them, chances are it's going to be a higher quality.
Sure.
And it's not going to be something owned by the Chi-Coms, which you don't want to buy Chinese ham.
Right.
So another great muscle to put on there is a loin of any type. Now, a lot of you hunters out there might still have a back strap in the freezer.
Right.
Wonderful use for your spit.
Right.
Because that is a really lean piece. It's going to need basting. You're going to have an event now, because everybody wants to see that thing going around and around, right?
Right.
And you don't have to shut your lid. It probably won't shut if it's like most grills. So you're going to have a great demonstration there, and you can make up whatever kind of basting marinade you want, or you can buy them.
Right.
You're famous for buying them. You've turned me on to a whole bunch of great ones that Lowry's makes.
Right.
Those are wonderful profiles. And for a back strap, it's going to need all the help it can get, because it's very, very lean.
Yeah, put some oil on that even to crisp it up a little bit.
Yeah, but typically your marinades are going to have something like that.
Right. So let's talk. I'm going to take a little diversion and we'll get back to the other cuts of meat. You just mentioned something that I think is worth discussing a little bit. Is you've got the lid open.
Yep.
Okay. Two things are going to happen. If you're cooking with charcoal, your fire is going to get really hot, because it's going to suck up all the air it can. And so be careful not to have your fire too close to the piece of protein that you're cooking, because
it'll
burn. So
maybe use briquettes.
Right. Yep. But because we're lump guys. We're lumpy, but we're lump charcoal guys. And it'll get really hot. The second thing is if you've got wind, your cook time is going to double. Okay? Because the wind, while it'll make your fire hot, it'll suck the heat right out of that thing. And it takes you extra time to get things done.
Good point. And a lot. Now, you're assuming charcoal.
Well,
but a lot of guys have grills with the infrared burner backplate for the rotisserie.
Right.
And that's a wonderful way to do it, because your juices are dripping into the bottom, and you put a catch pan down there, and you just keep basting it, and you've got that radiant infrared heat coming sideways at it. Works really, really nice.
Yeah, ideal.
Yeah.
That's ideal.
But if it is charcoal, you're going to want to get your fire going good and hot, and then take a shovel or something and move your coals to the front away from that rotisserie.
Out from under the meat.
Yes.
Right.
So that your grease and stuff's not dripping down and flaring up or putting out the fire or whatever.
Right.
So if you're basting it enough, you could put your fire out. So
right. Because it'll drip. It won't all stick.
Move those coals to the front. Another great way to use a spit is to do it like they do in Brazilian steakhouses. Have you ever been to one?
Yeah, where they carve at the table?
Yeah. So what you'll see with the Greek process or whatever, they'll slice
Brazilian.
They'll slice a bunch of meat, and like for a gyro, it's veal, lamb, whatever they like, and then they stack them together. They put some vegetables in between sometimes, and you make this beautiful composition of meat. And you can even use beef and lamb.
They're pressed pretty hardly together. Right.
But if you're doing the veggies between them, and you're just doing for you, you can just put your veggies between them, and you don't have to compress them like for a gyro. But talk about a presentation. You stack a bunch of stuff on a spit and put some green and red peppers in there and onion and pineapple, whatever you want. That is a gorgeous, we're talking YouTube video now, because that is going to be a gorgeous presentation. And then what you can do if you really want to show off, and who doesn't want to? That's why you bought the grill.
Right, yeah.
You take that whole spit over to the table, and you start carving it over the plates like the gauchos do in a Brazilian steakhouse.
Sure.
And that is cool.
Have a sharp knife.
And try not to poke anybody.
Right, have a sharp knife. That's what I'm saying, because it'll slide on you. If you aren't careful.
There's a chain of Brazilian steakhouses called Fogo de Chao.
Yep.
And if you have one in your area and haven't been there, go.
Yeah.
Go.
What a treat.
Because those gauchos are going to be carving. You just put your flag up, you get another hit. And I'm telling you, they don't do anything poorly at Fogo de Chao.
Right. Yep.
I've been to one of those too. Probably the biggest
chain. Yeah. I don't know where we have one around us. But
I don't know. It might be one in Detroit.
Yeah. But really cool. Really cool Brazilian steakhouse.
So if you want to open a restaurant, Brazilian steakhouse, there's an idea.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, coming up next, Barbecue Bob, I see we're going to be talking about maybe cooking on a pit. Whether you bought one or you got to make one at home, there's a way and there's a will. So get her done. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys. Happy Memorial Day. And get out in your backyard, create some grill envy where you're working, and playing and having fun. But we've been talking about alternate ways to put stuff on the heat. So we're going to keep going. We haven't hit the pit yet, so let's try that.
All right. I learned from somebody a long time ago, you know, when I was doing all those travels and hitting every barbecue shack in a state, I just ran into some industrious, very cool people.
Right.
This one fella literally made his pit out of cement blocks. Mm-hmm. He'll actually put it up and take it down. And what he would do is he was doing it on an old garage slab, but you can do it on like gravel, whatever you want to put it down on. But as long as you have a level surface, get a bunch of 8-inch construction blocks, cinder blocks, we'd call them maybe, and you make yourself a row, a short row, and then another row, so a U-shaped sort of structure, and you go up about three courses, and you cut a piece of steel, a piece of sort of the corrugated stuff that they build the safety platforms and factories.
Yeah,
out
grating.
Of. Grating, yeah.
So you but cut, steel, not aluminum.
Yes. So and not galvanized if you can avoid it.
Right.
So you get a piece of grating cut for those blocks, and you set it on top, and then you go up another two or three courses, however high you want the thing, depending on what you're putting in it, and then you get a piece of steel cut for that size. And you set that over the top. And it's good to have some sort of a weld put on it so you can slide it on and off. And it's hot and heavy, so it's not all that easy. But this process means anybody can have a giant pit in their backyard.
Right. So then if I'm following you, the coals are going to go on the ground or the rock or your cement driveway,
cement's
whatever.
Nice,
I wouldn't
yep.
put it on your driveway,
no.
probably. Not unless you're done with the driveway. But then the grate that's up a couple courses is going to hold the meat.
Yep.
or whatever you're smoking, and then the lid just
keeps the heat in.
Keeps the heat in.
Yep. So what you want to do is, of course, get your hardwood out, keep the cover off, and build yourself a nice fire, and just keep building that fire up front, and you get some sort of a hoe or scrapers or something, and push those hot coals back and distribute them underneath that grate so that you have a continuous supply of hot coals.
Right.
And you can just keep a fire going in the front corner and then keep grabbing coals out of it because you're going to feed this thing every couple hours.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is an active cook.
It is. Yep. Very active.
You're going to be involved.
And, you know, when you got to meet Bubba Baker.
Right.
Well, that's how Bubba grew up in Jacksonville. He was doing that for his uncle. And that's how he learned how to barbecue, was in a pit like that.
Right.
So that's very common. It's very hot.
Yes.
And if you're in Jacksonville, Florida in August, I'm thinking you're losing weight.
I might suggest a long-handled hoe,
yes,
too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you're not going to want to do that one with a three-footer.
No.
But you got to push it back there, or shovel, or whatever you got.
You'd probably end up making yourself something of a rake or something, because you don't want to burn the handle off it, but
right.
That is one way to do a pit. Now, another way that I learned living in Hawaii was kalua pig, and you can do this even if you're not in Hawaii. The wonderful thing is, like where I live, it's all sand. So you dig yourself a deep hole. Yeah, I'm talking 4 feet down. And
holy grave digger.
Yeah. Watch your mouth.
Yeah. Grave digger. That's what I said.
And you throw some rocks in the bottom, and you build a fire.
On the rocks?
Yep. And then you can throw more rocks
on
there.
What else you got on the rocks while you're doing this? Because you're going to get
there
thirsty.
There you go, yeah.
See, huh?
Okay.
Yeah, see how
there's
I am?
Bourbon on your mind.
Right.
So you build yourself a fire, and I'm talking about like for a day. You build a bunch, and you get a bunch of hot coals, and then you're not
because you're heating the rocks, right?
You can find banana leaves in certain stores, but you're probably not going to have banana leaves. So you're going to want to find some other organic leaves to put on there. And don't take your wife's hostas, okay? Whatever you do.
Right.
But so when the coals are good and hot, you're going to want to cover it full of leaves. And then you're going to want to put your hog on there and a suckling, whatever you want. You could do it also with a whole deer. You could put pieces of an animal on there, whatever you like. But it's typically for a hog. That's why it's kalua pig. And if you're going to put a hog in there, you're going to want to fill its belly full of vegetables. And I'm talking potatoes, onions, carrots, and maybe some fruits, like we used to use pineapple. And then pour a bunch of salt in there. Pour a bunch of salt over the top, and then again another layer of banana leaves, and then a gunny sack and
burlap bag kind
of
thing?
Yep. Burlap canvas, something like that, and then start putting your dirt on it. So you're gonna need about 2 foot of sand on top of it. And you wanna make sure you're covering the meat very well so you don't end up grinding sand with your meal.
This sounds like a lot of damn work.
It is. But it is so good and so fun when you pull that whole hog out. I would also recommend burying some chicken wire underneath those banana leaves or whatever you're going to put down on there so you have a way of picking that thing up, because it's going to fall apart. When you pull it up and out of there, number one, it's heavy. So you're going to need like four big Hawaiian guys,
mm-hmm.
four big blalas.
Right.
And you pull that thing up out of there and you pull it over to a table. And then you have a picking, and everybody gets to get their big forks out, and they fill their plates up right off of it.
Right.
You get down to the belly, you got all those veggies in there, and I'm telling you, it is so stinking good. That's called right. Kalua pig.
So that sounds awesome. I've got a question for you that I'm wrestling with in my head, completely unrelated, but we got a minute or two, so I want to talk about it. You had given me, I believe, was it hickory or white?
Hickory.
That I made for that countertop.
Oh.
Out of. Is that white oak?
That was mostly hickory, I think.
Yeah, that's what I think so, too. And it's 1-inch thick, mm-hmm. planed hickory. Well, I made a countertop out of it, okay? And I want to set my tech, my G-Sport Tech, which is a tabletop grill.
Yep.
I want to set it on there, and it has a drip pan. But you know that drip pan's not going to catch every drip.
Right.
Okay, and I've got it spar lacquered on top.
It'll be fine.
Two coats.
Yep.
But I want to put something under that so that the feet on that thing don't scratch my wood top.
Why?
Because I don't want to scratch the wood top. It's so beautiful.
So then just get a couple of those little furniture pads.
Yep, I've got some of those. Yep. But I just wondered, would you put something under the whole thing or just under the feet of it?
Well,
to keep the grease off and whatever.
They make a fireproof mat to put in front of your grill or under your grill on your deck.
Yep.
You could buy a small one of those and cut it to
down
fit
to
that,
the size, yeah.
But you're not going to want it too big because it's. You could actually get away with just a sheet of some nice steel, some stainless or diamond plating, something like that, and make it look a little cool.
Yep.
Just some metal.
Yeah.
And then you don't have a fabric.
Right.
But that G-Sport infrared, I used to cook on a plastic folding table. It won't melt.
Oh, anything. No. And the heat goes up.
Yeah.
I got it on a wood table and have had for a couple of years. But, it's just one of those things I just built the whole thing and I want to be trying to
you
protect
keep it
a little
looking
bit.
Good.
Yeah. But anyway, so. All right. Well, we'll do that. I'll look around, see what I can come up with. And because it's all coming together this weekend, we're going to do the maiden voyage on the new Jopp's Grillin' Hot Dog Back Bar something we got. We're trying to come up with a name. But anyway, all right. Coming up next, we're gonna finish up this barbecue and bring this train to the station. So we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Jopp from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Today's man law, under no circumstances shall any man lay a hand on a female or a child in violence. Spanking of a woman's you-know-what or pulling of the hair is permitted if done on request.
Oh, come on.
Corporal punishment is permitted, excluding obvious extremes. Punishment for the attacking male is that if other men see the assault taking place, they have the right to take him out back behind a building and show him how to fight with real men. In this situation, more than one man may be used in the attacking of said woman beater because he clearly doesn't mind an unfair fight, seeing as he was hitting a lady or a child. A call of the police is a very last resort and should only be used if said male is over 6'5", 250 pounds, or a UFC cage fighter. A buckshot to the dome is only called for in cases of rape or murder.
What the in the world
I altered
was that?
This one. I altered that one. So another way to do a fire is, of course, Jopp loves his foil. So if you're doing campfires this weekend, grab some potatoes, wrap them in foil. Grab some whole beets, wrap them in foil, and roast those things by your campfire. Because
I got a better one than that. New potatoes. Take bell peppers, red, orange, and green. Quarter them, and sweet onions, quarter those, peeled and quartered. Put those, make yourself a foil bag, and get one bottle of Lowry's Hawaiian marinade. Simple.
Yeah, you can even use
it. And you
ice.
Bag it in there, seal it tight, and then put it on the fire, turn it two or three times.
Or next to it.
In 15 minutes, those vegetables, maybe 20, because if you cut them thick with the potatoes, but dang, that's good, man.
You can also use
great
an old cookie sheet or cake pan or anything like that if you want.
But I like them cold. I like them wrapped up tight so they steam a little bit as well as cook while
they're
cooking.
Said something that reminded me of. I ran into one of my mentors before he passed away, and I said, Ferris, you're looking good. And he said, you know, Bob, he said, you've got your youth. And he pointed at my nephew. This was quite a while ago. He said, and then you've got your middle age like you. And then you have, you're looking good.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
Right.
And I never tell an old person they're looking good anymore. Yeah.
That's the last compliment out there,
that's
huh?
That's right.
Hey, you're looking
so,
good anyway.
So if you don't have a sous vide, you might check it out because they are worth the cost of admission.
S-O-U-S-V-I-D-E. Talk to you later. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend. Be safe out there.